In the course of a single song, Brandi Carlile can seduce you with a whisper.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am.
And then, moments later, abandon all restraint and go right for your gut.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am.
This is the title track of Brandi Carlile's most recent album, The Story. One reviewer said it was like listening to Brenda Lee fronting Pat Benatar's band. When she's not on tour, Brandi Carlile lives a quiet life in a log cabin in rural Washington State where she grew up. But she took a trip to the big city to talk to us. From KUOW in Seattle, Brandi Carlile, welcome.
It's my pleasure.
As we just heard, you were not afraid on this song to really put it all out there. We even hear your voice crack a little bit there at the climax. Were you not nervous about doing that?
I was nervous about it. I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen. But that's the thing about singing live in the studio is whatever happens is the truth, and you can't go back and change it.
Now, when you're in the studio, you do have a chance to do something like that over. Why didn't you?
Because it was the truth. It happened. And the band was making a great take, and it was sounding amazing. And in the moment, it just happened, and it ended up being right with that performance. It's funny, if the band had been playing a different take, maybe that scream or that vocal imperfection may have not fit, but it was the right thing at the right time.
Comes off very real.
Well, thank you.
Now, you were able to work with the legendary music producer T-Bone Burnett on this. He's known for working with the likes of Roy Orbison, Elvis Costello. He did the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. What did he do for you that pulled out something different?
Well, all kinds of things. I mean, we recorded live, and we had been playing the songs live for a long time, so they had sort of developed like a really sort of workman-like feel to them, which I think was not quite vulnerable enough. And at the time, we thought, yeah, we're this great, tight band. We can go in and knock these songs out in a few days. And it ended up being a little too perfect, you know. So he did a few things. One, we played with Matt Chamberlain, who's always been a drummer hero of mine from Seattle. And also T-Bone brought this amazing vintage instrument collection up to the studio. And I played on a 1932 Rosewood parlor guitar. We all played on guitars from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and through amps and equipment, too. It was amazing.
How did that change your sound, playing with something old?
Well, it makes you think about what you're doing a little more. I think that at that level of value and age, those instruments tell their own story. They really do. When you play those kinds of instruments, you have to think about what you're doing, and you feel what they've done and what they've been through, and they sound incredible.
There's this one song on the CD called Have You Ever, and it immediately made me think about Patsy Cline.
Oh, yeah, she's one of my main, you know, especially vocal influences. She's huge to me.
Have you ever wandered lonely through the woods, and everything that feels just as it should? Part of a life there, you're part of something good. If you've ever wandered lonely through the woods.
I wouldn't think there were a lot of 26-year-olds who listened to a lot of Patsy Cline.
I grew up listening to classic country music, and in my house, that was all we listened to. That was the music in our house, and everybody had their favorite artist. My mom's was Tammy Wynette, and mine was Patsy Cline. I just felt like, in a genre of music that there are the women sound so pretty and beautiful, and their voices are so, you know, melodic and in some senses like soothing. And Patsy Cline was just not concerned about sounding pretty in any way, shape, or form. I just always thought it was so cool.
Have you ever been out walking in the snow? Tried to get back where you were before.
You have a bit of a twang there that I wouldn't necessarily place in the Northwest.
I know. It's funny. I grew up being really immersed in that whole culture. You know, my grandfather was a was a yodeler and a bluegrass and country singer, and his brother was a banjo player, and their mother was a salon style piano player. And I grew up just really immersed in country music. And when I became a teenager and started to understand what was going on in Seattle with the grunge scene and what was starting to go on in my own musical tastes, you know, I had fallen in love with Elton John and Queen. I wanted nothing to do with country music, and I tried and tried and tried to get away from it and get it out of my voice and out of my person. But over time, it sort of came back around.
You almost hear you yodel in that song.
Yeah. I know. It's borderlines on yodeling. I love yodeling, though. It's just one of my favorite things.
Did your grandfather teach you to yodel?
He died. He got Lou Gehrig's disease, and I never really got to sing around him. But I think that he'd be real proud about my yodeling, because I think I may have learned it from him.
Can you give us a little taste of that?
I'm going to
put you on the spot here.
I want to be a cowboy, sweetheart. I want to learn to rope and ride. I'm going to ride through the plains and the deserts, out west of the Great Divide. I'm going to hear the coyotes sing. I'm going to feel the wind in my face. Strum my guitar and yodelay. Ooh, that's a life I love the best. Yodelay, 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 yodelay.
I think you did him proud.
Did it distort?
No. Brandi Carlile, I want to talk to you about your main collaborators and bandmates, the twins. Tim and
Phil Hanseroth.
Have the three of you been through as much heartache as we hear on this album?
Yeah, I think we have, or we wouldn't write about it, you know? I mean, I love people that write story songs and that are able to take themselves out of the smallness of their own experiences and write about what it would be like to experience something they haven't. You know, some of my biggest lyrical heroes like Bernie Taupin and Bob Dylan have been able to do, you know, just that. But I think what's going on here is a true confession from the three of us.
There's one song that has what I would call a very old soul feel here. It's called Cannonball, and the Indigo Girls are singing harmony with you. Let's listen.
Bright lights like wild lightning. Who shot me there? Who cut me there?
This song has a very classic, timeless feel. You could almost imagine hearing it sitting around a campfire 100 years ago. Is that something that you all tried to do?
Well, I think I set out to get some thoughts out of my head first things first, and then I found accompaniment.
What was going on in your life at the time?
It's just sort of one of those really ethereal, searching songs. I had just had a friend that went off to Iraq, and I was just wondering about, you know, life and death and laying awake at night and just searching, thinking. And I ended up in the middle of the night just kind of jotting down those lyrics.
Someone told me a lie. Someone looked me in the eye and said time will ease your pain. But behold, when you fall, it's the same old cannonball coming back for your heart again.
Have you shared the song with your friend?
He wouldn't get it if I did. It wasn't really about him. It was about me wondering, you know, where it starts and where it ends. And it's pretty dramatic, actually, when I say it that way.
Is he still over there?
No, he made it back. He did 2 tours and came back, and he's home.
Let's talk about another one of the songs on your CD, The Story. Wasted had very interesting lyrics. This is a song, it seems to me, about the frustration of watching somebody waste their talent. Want to listen to a little bit of the song?
Why not?
If you had eyes like golden crowns and diamonds in your fingertips, you'd waste it. If shining wisdom passed your lips and traveled to the ears of God, you'd waste it. And so I hate your overrated, most revered and celebrated, because you wasted. Then again, it's good to get.
Were you watching somebody in your life when you wrote this?
I thought I was at the time, and I don't think so anymore at all. But, you know, it was a bold statement at the time, and, you know, it sort of embarrasses me that I was ever that judgmental. But it's like a photograph. You can't go back and change what you were wearing just because it was, you know, the 80s or whatever. So it's like, that's how I feel about that song. I was watching my brother not pursue music. And it was really upsetting because I thought, and I really think, that he's so talented. But just because that's my path doesn't make it his. He just had a baby a few days ago, so I was dead wrong about what his path was.
Does he dabble in music at all?
Yeah, he plays in church, and he plays harmonica, piano, guitar, and he's an amazing singer. So he's really talented, but he's not like me. He doesn't need to do it all the time in order to feel normal.
Well, Brandi Carlile, thank you for speaking with us.
Now, thanks for speaking with me. I appreciate it a lot.
Brandi Carlile's latest CD is The Story. To hear more selections from the album, visit our website, npr.org.
Then again, it's good to get a call now and then, just to say hello. Have I said I hate to see you go? I hate to see you go.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott.
Do-do-do-do.